Merry Christmas, everybody. You may be seated. An 18th century book outlined a specifically costly relationship leading up to Christmas entitled The 12 Days of Christmas. You guys know this. A well-known song to us these days, we usually know the line, my true love gave to me a partridge in a pear tree, right, the first day. But did you ever stop and think about how weird of a relationship this must be, right? Maybe you didn't. I think about such things. As the song comes on the radio, I'm trying to picture this guy. Okay, and how he's trying to outdo us all, right, guys? Right? I thought about this and I started calculating. I got to the fifth day of Christmas and I'm already at $15,000 and I'm thinking, how in the world can we compete? What kind of reality is this guy living in, or how desperate is he really? Right? When you think about getting even today, up to the 10th day, it just becomes astronomically just out of the question for all the organization that would have to happen for me to pull this off. The cost involved. On the 10th day, for me to organize 10 Lords Leaping, I don't even want to picture it, but if that's what will get the girl, I guess you got to do what you got to do. The 12 days of Christmas actually is something significant for us, and I wanted us just to pause on this. The actual desire of having the 12 days marked at Christmas is significant because it marks the day of Epiphany, when Jesus, Mary, and Joseph were visited by the wise men or the Magi. They proved to be very wise because of arriving at the place of the birth of Jesus. But as we're going to see, as we talk about this some more, we can see the wisdom even beyond that. These 12 days, at that 12th day, marks the Epiphany because they came to the realization that many of us have come to, and that is that Jesus is just that. He is the King. And so we light this Christ candle today ourselves to mark Jesus' arrival. We light the candle to remember and symbolize Jesus and his arrival as the light of the world and the one who brings hope and peace and joy to all mankind, as we've talked about. If you've been with us through the Advent series, we've talked about all of those. The 12th day, though, is symbolic to the day the Magi had their epiphany, their own epiphany. They stood before this baby in this moment, and they realized this is the one. This is the Christ, the one that's spoken of. And how did they know about this one? Well, most believe that they research, studied the text. They were looking and watching for the signs, and they had seen the signs, and so they had traveled to this. And we have this text that they likely read in Isaiah 53, likely one of those that they studied. Verse 1 goes like this: Who has believed what he has heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. Jesus arriving in this humble place. As they entered that area where Jesus was, his humble beginnings, I wonder, did they see the scriptures they had studied coming to life? Did they come with an openness that others missed because of their traditions and history, their preconceived ideas, those that were close to this family, maybe preventing them from seeing the truth. But these that had come from afar off, seeing plain as day, this is the King. They had an epiphany. An epiphany is an awakening. It's a realization to something new, a brand new thought. Many times we have an epiphany. I don't know if many of you have this thought of epiphanies. Sometimes I say the word aha, right? I changed a diaper recently and I was like, aha. No, that doesn't happen at all, actually. But my first diaper, that was an aha moment. This new idea that I would be doing this for a very long time. Epiphanies come in these new moments, these fresh things that come up that we've never done before, and they bring with it a learning, an understanding, a new perspective. An epiphany for those magi happened that day for many, and for many that celebrated Jesus' birth in this moment. The prophecies were true. This perspective and an awakening was happening around the area. God has sent Israel a redeemer. Salvation is here, those shepherds must have been thinking. For many, this epiphany awakened hope that had been lost for a very long time. He has redeemed us. As we think about this epiphany, we can think about all that comes with the understanding that Jesus has arrived. He has redeemed us. He has saved us. He's here to change our lives. And the Word of God tells us He knows us intimately and He calls us by name. And in response, many others after today and before will come to know Jesus just as those magi, I'm sure, realized and became people who would follow what Jesus did. Here we sit over 2,000 years since the first Christmas, ready to pause and remember a gift that has been given. And I wanted us to stop and think about how grand, how costly, how perfect the gift of Jesus is. Here you can see we've been anticipating, kids. You've seen this box on the stage for a long time now, a month or so, and I heard somebody have a guess last week what was in the box. Well, the box has been opened, and surprise, the gift is Jesus. It's the Sunday school answer of all Sunday school answers, right? The answer is always Jesus. Come on. Philippians 2, verse 5. Paul wants us to understand what this meant. And so he goes on to say this: have this mind among yourselves. Have this mind. You could say, have this thinking for yourself, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth. Heaven on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus was sent from his heavenly home and humbled himself, took on flesh to be what we needed. Jesus did that, but the writer here, Paul, is talking to people who have had this epiphany. Maybe you've had this epiphany. You know who Jesus is. You're right there with me. This is a grand gift. Well, Paul says, then if this is the epiphany you've had, this way of thinking comes with it. In other words, Paul says, be like Jesus. If you know who he is, then be like him. Jesus was in the form of God, but did not seek equality. Rather, he sought humility. Became a servant, obedient, died. His reward was with God and not on earth. Paul is saying in Jesus' gift is also the gift of how to live, how to think, how to be. This gift of Jesus is perfect for us. Jesus was not here just to give us a better life, though. Not here on earth. He didn't come to give you a walk in the park life. Like many of the gifts that we'll pull out of our packages, they're to help us just like Jesus is here, he's to help us. But sometimes we get caught up in this idea that the bliss life is just on the other side of knowing who Jesus is. The bliss life is to come. Having Jesus with you is the best life. But let us think about this. What is the most powerful thing that Jesus does is that he breaks the barrier between us and God. He takes care of the problem that you and I had, that every human had, and that is the sin problem. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." If a gift has been given that results in you and I receiving eternal life with God, then it stands to reason the most important question that you and I must answer this Christmas is this: have we received the gift? Have we opened it? And are we aware of its true value? Are we aware of its true value? John 3:16, Jesus describes himself in this way: "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life." That is exactly what Jesus did. He walked out the rescue plan that God had for this world. He went to a cross, he died in our place so that we could have eternal life. And all it would take, as he describes, Jesus says, is that you and I would believe. Opening the gift of Jesus begins with you and I believing that Jesus is who he says that he is. This is what makes it a gift as well, in that you and I couldn't earn it. I couldn't do a list of good things to say, look, I can now take on Jesus and I can have eternal life. Jesus says, no, this is a gift. I'm giving myself to you. You cannot in this life present a list of good things and hope to get into heaven. But you can today call on Jesus as your King. Believe he is who he said he was. And know for sure that today you will be in paradise with him. He freely gave his life knowing that some would still reject it. And so I want to think about two stories that you all know. One story describes the person rejecting him, and this happened. Jesus was walking along and healed somebody outside the temple. He was lame. It happens in John chapter 5, and then he left that place because they wanted to kill him. The person who was healed was so excited, he started telling everybody, and Jesus said, just be quiet. Jesus withdrew from that and then hopped on a boat and went across the Sea of Galilee. And on the other side of the sea, the crowd gathered around. They wanted to hear what Jesus had to say. And it's late in the day, and Jesus says to his disciples, what are we going to do? How much would it cost for us to buy everybody food? Of course, Jesus knew that they couldn't do it. 200 denarii, that's too much. And so Jesus fed with 5 loaves, right? 2 fish, 5,000 men and their families. And at this miracle, this group of people said, this is the one. He must be king. They were really ready to give all of their lives under his lordship to say, you should be our king. 2 drastically different responses to Jesus. One was to oppose Jesus and what he had to offer, and the other was to rally and grab all that Jesus was and to come under his authority. This pattern, the same thing happened with the epiphany that the Magi had. The same epiphany happened to those that were fed. The same epiphany happened to that one that was healed. And the response was to tell everybody, this is the King. This is Jesus, the one that we've been waiting for. I want to ask you, what has your epiphany led you to? Your awareness that God is sending his Son, has sent his Son Jesus, and he is the gift, the perfect gift for you. Have you opened that gift? Have you believed and put your trust and faith in Jesus? Have you responded like the crowd that was fed, or have you opposed this idea? And if you've opened that gift, I wonder, what have you done with it recently? Your packets, the kids, you guys had a packet when you walked in. It had the gift there that is Jesus, and you can color that in. But also there was a card inside there, and in that card is a scripture that describes why Jesus came. Jesus came to do the will of his Father, to humble himself and do what his Father told him to do. And so if you came with a child, you have homework. If you didn't, you can pick up a packet and you can do this another time. But I want to encourage everybody to do this in this season. Don't let this season go by. You've got 12 days. And I would ask you in this next 12 days to do this, to journey and ask God for an epiphany. And to write down how God has revealed himself to you. Jesus is the one whose love has never failed. And somebody came in this room today and you might have felt failed. You might have felt let down. And so for you, it's hard to accept and grab and wrap your arms around the love of Jesus, the love of God in Jesus. Your desire might just be to oppose this idea and push it away. And I want to encourage you to take 12 days to pray, ask God, God, if you are who you say you are, then show me. And when he shows you, because I know he will, I want you to write it down. And if you're someone, you had this epiphany, you know who God is, I want you to take this opportunity for the next 12 days, and I want you to write down your epiphany. I want you to write it down as I did. I tried to write it down in my excitedness, so it came out crazy. It was like, hey, he's the King of glory, the King of righteousness. He heals deaf ears. He strengthens the weak. He's my confidence, my hiding place. He delivers me. He's my captive audience all the time. He wants to listen to me. He restores my broken heart. He shelters me in time of trouble. He's the light when it feels dark. He's the shelter when it's trouble. Peace is what he gives me all the time when I want it, when I need it. He's the Lamb of God. He's the Alpha Omega. He's the resurrection and the life, and I can do nothing without him. I'm asking you today to think about who he is to you and write it down. Don't waste this moment. Don't waste this season. I'm convinced that God has something for every single one of us to reveal to us about who he is. That is in a card. And that card looks like a present. It looks like a gift. For this very reason, that when you have an epiphany of who God is, it is meant to be given to someone else. Revelations tells us this, that we will have freedom by the blood of that Lamb and the words of our testimony. By the blood of the Lamb, that gift, and by the words of our testimony, this world can know freedom. So it's on us to respond to this gift today and for our lives. How will you respond? I want us to stand. We're going to pray and then we're going to worship. And I'd love to raise the roof off with our testimony of how great, how perfect, and how good our God is. Amen. Father, we thank you for being the perfect gift, the awesome gift, the one who we needed. You arrived at the right time and you provided all that we need. And so we respond to you in this moment. You're a holy, an awesome God. God, I pray that you would fill this moment and that you would reveal yourself in a fresh and new and powerful way this Christmas. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen.